Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, once again, your word is powerful and strong. And so we just pray that it would just speak forth into our lives. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your words. Just put a guard over my tongue, Lord. Anything that you want to say or not say, would that just come through, Lord? We just pray that we would be your disciples hearing from you this morning, because your word is so incredible how it meets us right where we're at every time. God, give us soft hearts to hear from you. We know that this speaking of the mind is just such an important topic. So we pray that you would just illuminate our eyes and our hearts and our minds to make the changes that you want us to make through your word. Amen. Okay, so would you believe if I told you guys this morning that 75 to 98% of all diseases are caused by our minds? Would you believe me? Oh, some people are saying yes. Wow, I didn't believe it. So of course, you know, this research has been done by many brain scientists, and this is what they believe that they've come up with. They've studied the brains for decades and decades, and they believe that 75 to 98% of diseases. Now, before you go, hey, I don't have diabetes because of my mind or whatever, I'm not saying all of them, but I do believe that there are many diseases. Now, I'm not saying that your mind says, hey, I don't mean that it's psychological, like, I feel like I have lupus. No, that's not what I mean. I mean the results of where our thoughts are constantly thinking affect our bodies. So, you guys know that we are made up, just like the Trinity is made up of three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are made up of three: spirit, your soul, which is your mind, and your body. Okay, your spirit, soul slash mind, same thing, and your body. And it should be in that order, right? Your body shouldn't be dominating your spirit and your soul. Your soul is your feelings and all that. No, it should be exactly that. Your spirit's in control. Then you have your soul and your mind that come behind, and then your body is last. So the Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful. And this week, that's what we studied, was the heart and the mind. I'm going to take this time to focus on the mind today. That's how the Lord led me. So we're just going to, in your groups, you'll be talking about the heart too. But we know that the Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful, right? It's wicked. And then Matthew 15, 9 says, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. So think of that. If your heart is deceitful, and then out of your heart is coming what? Evil thoughts. Well, that makes sense, right? If your heart is deceitful and wicked already. But what does Romans 12, 2 tell us? Famous verse. Tells us to renew our minds, right? To renew our minds. So we shouldn't think that, oh yeah, well, my mind's in pretty good shape. No, if we're not being intentional, our thoughts quickly go to fleshly thoughts, wicked thoughts. We have to be intentional. So like I said earlier, your soul is your mind and your mind is your soul. And if I had more time in several sessions, I would go more into that. But when you look into the definitions in the Bible of the soul and the mind, it's the same thing. It's what, I won't bore you with the definition, but in the Greek, the mind is nous. And what is it? I'm just going to boil it down. I wrote the definition, but it'll go right over our heads because it's like, blah, blah, blah. Pretty much, in other words, it's the feeling, thinking, and choosing. Okay? Doesn't that make sense? Your mind, it's your feeling. It's the seat of your feelings, your thinking, and your choosing. And isn't that what your soul is? We've been taught in Calvary Chapel for decades that the soul is the seat of your emotions, right? It's where you have your emotions, your feelings. It's your choosing. That is what your soul is. And so as women, I think we do a lot of this. What would you guys say? Do you think we do a lot of thinking? You know, the joke about how the men have the empty box in their mind. They have this box that sometimes they go, oh, it's the nothing box. That's what it is. Sometimes they just think of nothing, you know. They can just cast the reel over and over, right? You've seen the video maybe. But we don't have a nothing box. We're always thinking. We're always feeling. And we're always choosing. We make a lot of choices. Sometimes as a mom, I feel like the referee at the house, you know. You're safe. You're out. I do a lot of choosing. So our minds are very active. Are they not? They are. Fortunately, I don't have that nothing box where it's just like, no, I'm always thinking. So let's go to a quick little science lesson. Your brain is neuroplastic. What does neuroplastic mean? Neuro means brain. Plastic means to change. So we are all designed by our maker to be able to change our brains, our own brains. Isn't that cool? Your brain's not just created and that's how it's going to be forever. I mean, this isn't in my notes, but my sweet nephew, he had a stroke when he was a year and a half. And it's amazing how things that they thought he'd never be able to do, the doctor said he probably will because he's so young, his brain can adapt, right? To those parts of his brain that are dead, he'll be able to adapt and just go in different ways. So your brain, even at our ages, we're not a year and a half, but they still are able to change. That's what plastic means. It can change. And your mind controls your brain, not your brain, your mind, right? It's not like my arm is going to move and I'm going to go, whoa, my brain just chose what my hand's going to do. No, my mind tells my brain, I choose and I tell my brain what to do. So did you get that? Your mind is what controls your brain. So if your brain can be changed and be made more healthy, it's your mind that changes that. And there's two kinds of trees. If a doctor could open up our skulls and look into our brains, there's different ways that our thoughts look on our brain. Some of them, if they're negative thoughts, they're like these little black scorched trees. And if they're healthy, godly, you're walking in the spirit, it's like little green trees. Isn't that amazing? And it's true. I've studied this with this Christian neuroscientist. She's a brain scientist. And she says you can literally see the health of your brain if you look at your brain. And our minds can change our brain. So we should be motivated just by that introduction, right? That, wow, diseases can be caused by my mind and I can change the health of my brain. And think of all that's affected by our mind and our brain. I mean, those around us. I remember the reason I am passionate about this subject is because years ago I realized, wow, I am not being a keeper of my mind. My thoughts all day are just running wild. And I need to work on this. So I started studying what the Bible said about the mind. I started studying what Christian brain scientists say about the mind. And I'll tell you what, a few months in, I went on a date with Phil. We go on a date every week normally. And we go on a date and he goes, I have noticed such a difference in you. So what a good testimony, right? As we focus on the mind, it will affect our families, our coworkers. They will notice the difference. It has a way of seeping itself into those around us in the way that we act. I loved how the introduction in your Bible study to the mind said that it's the control center of the spiritual life. Did you guys see that? In that little introductory paragraph, it said that the mind is the control center of the spiritual life. So when I thought of control center, I started thinking, you know, what does that mean? I looked it up, of course, Google, like Patsy said last week, and it said that it's what controls and monitors. And of course, I don't know about you guys, what would you think of if you thought of control center? Okay, that's a good thing. Good. Star Trek, someone said, yeah, I thought of, right away I thought of the flight control center, you know, air traffic control center. Just think of if their control center wasn't very controlled. We would be having crashes in planes all the time. Like, they don't just let anyone come into the control center of the flight control. Yeah, right. Or what about the missile control center? That's another big one. What if they just said, oh, it's no big deal. You know, enemies can come in or just strangers or visitors can come into the control center of our missiles. No way. That would be crazy. You think we have a good security door here at Calvary Chapel, Reno Sparks? No, they have so much security. And I also thought of the poison control center. You know, when you are poisoned, you call them and they are in control. And when I started, like I said, years ago, studying the mind, the Lord led me to go through the book of Nehemiah. I thought, Nehemiah, the brain, the mind, okay. But it talks a lot about Nehemiah was going back to Jerusalem to build what? The walls around the city, right? To protect the city. And the Lord just gave me this picture of our mind and that it should be a walled city. There's a lot going on in our brains, like I said, and it should have walls. It should have, it's the control center and it should be protected. So here's a question for us. Am I in control of my mind or is my mind in control of me? Sometimes we don't even realize if you're anything like me, you can be doing dishes and then all of a sudden you're like, what? What have I been thinking about for 10 minutes? We don't even realize it sometimes. Sometimes we're just letting our mind run rampant and we are not in control of our mind. And if there aren't protective walls around our minds will control us. And then Think of how this control center, as we looked at, will affect your feelings, your thoughts, and your choices. Amen? It's just the way it is. It's very important that we control. We put those walls around our mind. We don't just let anyone come into our missile control center, right? Because we can be like a missile sometimes now that I think of it. And we have a lot of traffic going on in our life as women. We're, okay, you're going to this. Maybe you don't have children at home anymore, but still, we have a lot going on in our life. We juggle a lot of things, laundry and meals and all our careers. And so we need to have this walled city of our mind protected. So I'm going to read you guys Nehemiah 4, 17 through 18. If you want to turn there really quickly, but I'm just going to read it for time's sake. Again, talking about Nehemiah and how he was building those walls to protect Jerusalem so that those enemies couldn't just come in anytime they wanted and attack them. And this is what Nehemiah 4, 17 and 18 says. Those who built on the wall and those who carried the burdens loaded themselves. So with one hand, you guys, is this coming back to you? I love this, right? With one hand, they worked at the construction. And with the other hand, what did they have in the other hand? Yeah, they had the weapon. Good, the sword. They held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built. Haven't you guys loved that picture when you study through Nehemiah? It's just one of those pictures of Nehemiah that sticks with us, right? You have the tool in one hand, and you have the weapon in the other. And we can apply that to so many things in our spiritual life. But today I'm applying it to the mind. And what do I mean by that? Well, with one hand, you're on the defense. You are protecting your mind and what comes in. And as we're going to look at in 2 Corinthians 10 in just a second, it's taking those thoughts captives, right? That's the defense. But with the other hand, you're building. You're building healthy, godly thoughts, spiritual thoughts. And that's what we are going to spend the rest of the time looking at. So the next point would be, how can we have peace in our minds? If you studied these verses on the mind this week, maybe you noticed that many, many of the main passages that we study about the mind in the Bible have the word peace in them. When God talks about the mind, he talks about that he wants to give us peace. And so how can we have peace in our minds? How can we have these spirit-controlled minds where it's just not going crazy? Well, we're going to look at four things. I think it was four, five things. Sorry. Five ways that we can have peace in our mind. So please turn to 2 Corinthians 10. And we're going to look at verses 3 through 6, which ends with the famous verse about bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So it's 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6. We'll start here to see some tools on how to have peace in our minds through the Word of God. It says this, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." So we're going to dive into this. You guys can see right away all these words of war, weapons of our warfare, pulling down strongholds and captivity. This shows us right away, we're in a war, right? When we're talking about taking captives, I mean, even that word, taking captives, that's a war. That's a word of war, right? Of warfare. I've never been in the military. You can tell I'm stumbling over these words. Too bad Phil's not here. But we are in a war, and we do need our captain, Jesus, our victor, to fight our battles. Amen? Our battles of our mind. So the first thing that I would say is that we need to cry out to God. When it comes to having peace in our mind, we need to cry out to God. Well, yeah, that's basic. But let me explain. Like I said, years ago, I would wake up in the middle of the night before I even realized, you guys can probably relate, most women can, before I'd even realize I was awake, boom, there was an attack in my mind. Something that was totally not true. And it's like, I don't even know I'm awake and it's there. It was spiritual attack. Now, I'm not saying that always happens. It doesn't right now in this season of life. I'm sure it'll start happening in another season of life, but right now, thankfully, it's not. But in that season, I just learned to cry out to God because it was so strong. I would wake up with just my heart beating. It was warfare. It was time to get out the battle. And I was asleep, and you guys know we're weak when we're tired, right? So I would just cry out to God. And I love Nehemiah 4:9. It says, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God. And because of them," speaking of the enemies, "we set a watch against them day and night." And one night I woke up and it was just so strong. And right away, cried out to the Lord, and the Lord right away put on my heart that song that says, "You unravel me with a melody." Do you guys know that song? "You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies until all my fears are gone." So right away, I didn't even know that song very well. It's not like it was from me, but I cried out to God and it was just in my heart and it was just so powerful right away. I didn't even have to do anything except for cry out to God. The Lord just took care of that battle in my mind. That, yes, Lord, deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. That's what that song says. And so in this chapter, 2 Corinthians 10, let's look at verse 4 again. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but what? Mighty in God." Let's start there. That word mighty, it's not just like, oh, mighty. It's the same word used in Matthew 19:26. It's the word dynatos, like dynamic, like dynamite, right? It's the same word, like I said, used in Matthew 19:26. It says, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." All things are possible. That's that same word possible that's used here in the Greek, that it's mighty in God. So think of that. It's mighty in God. Anything's possible. Ladies, we can't have peace in our minds and fight the battle in our own strength, can we? No, I can't, at least. We must cry out to God. And like I said, too often the battle is just too strong for me, and I just have to go, "God, help me." And he's so good. He just grabbed my hand and he delivers me out of that. So the next thing that we're going to look at after, you know, how to have peace in our mind after we looked at crying out to God, second thing is taking the thoughts captive. And honestly, when I was listening to the message yesterday, it was so good. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's kind of one of my points. Yeah, that was one of my points. And I got home and I was like, you kind of took like all my messages that are coming up, you know, for the conference that I've been preparing and my one for tomorrow. And he's like, "Well, you were talking to me about stuff." I said, "No, I didn't share with you any of that stuff that you shared, you know, like, did you read my notes?" But he didn't, you know. But then I thought, praise the Lord, because it's just God has a message for us and it's just going to be like ground more into our hearts is what we need. And of course, I didn't write down his exact words right now, but remember when he was talking about fears, he was relating it to fears. We're looking at the mind, but he was saying that we have to, you know, see that fear and then see the lie behind the fear and then the truth of what that fear says. And these next three are very similar to that because they can be related to our mind too, because fears are in our mind, right? So the second point we're going to look at is taking our thoughts captive. And that's what the end of verse 5 says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I'm going to camp out here for a minute. Like I said, in Nehemiah, they had the weapon in one hand and the tool in the other. So let's take just a couple minutes to look at how we can use this weapon according to 2 Corinthians 10 verses 4 and 5. So again, it said, "They're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." That's the first thing. Mighty in God to do what? It said to do what? Pulling down strongholds. That word pulling down in the Greek, it's not just like, okay, let me pull down. I'm like so not in shape right now. Me pulling down anything wouldn't work. But that word in the Greek says it means destruction and demolition. Don't you love that word demolition? It reminds me of like, I don't know, the Fixer Upper, you know, demolition day. He comes through with his big sledgehammer. And so it's pulling down, it's demolition. And these are like intense words. Sometimes when we read our Bible, we're like, oh yeah, pulling down, it's nice weapons. No, Paul is writing, these are military words. We're demolitioning, that's not a verb, but demolitioning something, okay? And the next word, it says pulling down strongholds. It would be demolishing, sorry. Strongholds. That word strongholds in the Greek means a castle or a fortress, okay? So I don't know about you, but we can have strongholds. We can have fortresses or castles in our minds sometimes, don't we? What do I mean? Well, they could be strongholds of, you can fill in the blank. It could be addiction. It could be lust. could be fear. We talked about that yesterday, fear, unforgiveness, anger, anxiety, disappointment. And you guys, as I studied the mind again in the science of the mind, this Christian brain scientist, neuroscientist, she said that there's a high that comes when we focus on negative thoughts, on fleshly thoughts. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that you're driving and you're thinking of something, and then when you get distracted, you come back and you think, what was I just thinking of? Do you know what I'm talking about or not? You think, wait, what was I just thinking about? It was something that made me really sad or something that made me really anxious, and we're like trying to remember what it was. We shouldn't try to remember what it was, but it's because your brain literally releases, you know, some kind of, and what it is God designed it for a good thing. God designed adrenaline for us to use in a good way to bring us to peace, to help us to get through hard times. But, you know, the enemy, what God means for good, he uses for evil. So a lot of times there's that high. So we need to pull down those strongholds, be it forgiveness or fear, anger. The next thing that the verse tells us in verse 5, it says, casting down arguments. Casting down arguments. Again, what does arguments mean in the Greek? I told you guys last time, I really like word studies, so forgive me, but they help me understand the word more. And arguments in the Greek means thoughts, imaginations, speculations. Does that relate to women or what? Speculations, imaginations. It reminds me of this time in Texas. I was sitting there studying my Bible and I hear this. I hate mice and rats, you know. Ooh. And we never had one in our house in Texas. Now in Costa Rica, we had them all the time because they could just, we didn't have screens. You had open windows, you guys. They could go under your doors. There was no way. One time my dad came, he's like, well, we got to find the entry point. And then he was sitting there, he's like, oh yeah, there's no way of, you know, solving that issue in a third world country there. But anyhow, so I hear these mice. I'm like, no, not in my Texas home. You know, I'm not in Costa Rica anymore. I hear this tick, tick, tick. And so mind starts going to that. Oh, Phil's not home. There's a mouse. I hate mice. And guess what comes crawling out? A hermit crab. Yes, I have 4 sons and a daughter, so we have all kinds of things. We don't have any animals but a fish right now. I'm praising the Lord. That won't last long, but we had hermit crabs, and I guess one was missing. I didn't even realize it. And out comes a hermit crab, but it just reminded me of these speculations. You know, we can just start imagining things like, oh, the mouse, and my husband's not home. I hate mice, and we probably have an infestation. What are we going to do? And it's a little hermit crab. But that's a silly story. Of course, it gets more serious. We can speculate and imagine about other things. The what ifs. We're good at those. What if my child never returns to the Lord? What if they don't like me? I don't care if we're in kindergarten or if we're 80. We still, many of us, struggle with that. What if they don't like me? What if I lose my job? What if there's a tornado? Reminds me of the fact that years ago, my mom wanted to go see a movie about an earthquake. We're like, no, mom, we're not taking you to the movie theater to see that. You already struggle with that. Why would we take you to go see that movie about a natural disaster? No. Or, you know, the what ifs. What if my husband forsakes me? What if they're slandering me? We could go on, and our mind does go on, and our minds are good at that, especially as women. But what does it say here? It says we have to cast those down, those speculations. And then the next thing in the verse says, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And so if the second part was taking the thoughts captive, I would say the third thing is then pulling the thought apart. It's kind of like what Phil said yesterday. You know, you realize that the fear's there, but then you have to say, okay, what's the lie behind this? And so I would say that you realize that the thought's there. You're putting walls around your mind and you see a thought come in. Okay, this is attack. This is warfare. But then you're going to have to pull the thought apart and say, is this exalting itself against the knowledge of God? Again, going back to our science lesson, there's 3 parts of the brain. There's the unconscious, the subconscious, and the conscious part. Now, this was just very helpful for me personally. Maybe it won't be for you, but maybe one of you it will be. There's the subconscious. Sometimes, you know, you're dreaming and you're just in your subconscious. Sometimes there's that's the unconscious, sorry. The subconscious, which is a lot of times we're in our subconscious. We're doing things and we don't even really realize. We're not really thinking through, like, now, is that true? Or our thoughts are just kind of going crazy, the speculations. And then there's the conscious, where you're really all there. You're going, okay, you're really picking things apart and being an objective thinker. Does that make sense? And too often we're in the middle part of our brain, which is the subconscious. You're halfway there. Your thoughts are just kind of going crazy. Well, we need to get into our conscious part, where we're saying, hey, does this exalt itself against the knowledge of God? Psalms 42:5. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, because it had played a big role in my life. And it's that beautiful verse that says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Right? And so that's where we're pulling it into our conscious part of our brain, and we're, you know, David, didn't he? Well, actually, that wasn't David. It was another writer. But he was having a conversation with himself. He was saying, hey, why are you cast down? You know, sometimes we can find ourselves just being sad. Oh, it's cloudy outside. I don't know about you guys. Or the seasons change and I can kind of feel melancholy. I'm not a very melancholy person, but I can start feeling like, things are sad. And then you go, wait, why? Like, I'm in great health. The Lord is good. I have shelter. I have food. I have a great church. I have all these new friends. You know, the Lord is so good. Look at the leaves changing. But so often we can just start to, believe our mind is speaking to us, and we need to speak back to our mind. Pull those thoughts into the conscious part of your brain and say, why are you cast down, O my soul? And remember, again, the soul is the mind and the mind is the soul, right? Why are you cast down? Why are my feelings and my thoughts cast down? Hope in God. That's what it means to pull it into the conscious part of your brain. And that's what's really helped me too. And sometimes, I don't know about you guys again, but I can feel sometimes on the beginning of the day, you feel stress. You don't even know why. You're just like, oh boy. You're trying to get into the word and you feel stressed. You know, I start to feel like tense in my shoulders, and it's like, oh, that's always a sure sign that I haven't been walling my mind very well if I'm getting tense, you know? It's like, time for the essential oils. No, just kidding. But in the beginning of the day, you can start to feel stressed, and then you have to do that again and say, okay, wait, what's going on here? Why do I feel stressed? Is there a legitimate reason? No. Okay, what do I need to do? Some laundry, some this, some that. I have a doctor's appointment, da, da, da. You know, you go through the list, and you're like, then you bring it to the Lord, and you go, Lord, help me to, you know, put my priorities today. But too often, we go through our day just feeling stressed and we don't even know why. We are not taking our thoughts captive. Or another thing, I don't know about you, sometimes on a day off, I can feel a bit of stress, because it's like I'm torn between like, oh, I just want to be like Mary and rest with the Lord. And then there's this other side that's like, I should probably get some stuff done. We got to take those thoughts and go to the Lord. Okay, Lord, what do you want this day to look like? Instead of all day feeling like, oh, should I do stuff or should I sit down and read? You know, it's like, that's not the Lord's heart. The Lord wants us to have peace in our mind. So every high thing that exalts itself, that's what verse 5 said, against the knowledge of God. And here's where it flows deep into our beings, you know, because they can be thoughts like, I'm not good enough. And this isn't psychology. Before you guys think, oh, this sounds like psychology. If we're real with ourselves, sometimes we feel these things. I'm not good enough. Or I'll never change. That person will never change. That's a big one, isn't it? There's no hope. I'm not lovable. My sinful past and shame will always keep me from intimacy with God and others. There's a lot of these thoughts, and they all exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. They are not true. Like Phil said yesterday, they are lies. And we have to say, wait, wait, wait. These are exalting. You know, I'm not good enough. Well, God's good and Jesus is good enough. And when God sees me, he sees me in Jesus. So you say, no, I'm taking this captive and I'm pulling this thought apart. I'll never change. Oh, really? Is that what Philippians 1:6 says? You know, he who began a work is going to complete it. There's no hope. We could go on and on about verses of hope. So a lot of times we need to find a verse that applies and memorize it, write it on a note card, put it on your dashboard, put it on your mirror, put it on your refrigerator, and claim the truth. Because the reality is that these core issues, these deep, deep things that we don't even think about, they're honestly back there in the other part of our brain, like I'm not good enough or I'm unlovable, they're going to surface into these other areas of life. And they're against the knowledge of God, like I said. So to wrap all that up, we need to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of God. And each one of us will either be a captive to our thoughts, a prisoner, or we're going to take them captive, right? You're going to either today be a captive to your thoughts, or you're going to take your thoughts captive. So will you be a captive this week, or are you going to take them captive? And the last points are much shorter, don't worry. Okay, so the third thing, we already looked at the third thing, which was pulling that thought apart and going, okay, is this true? What is going on here? Why am I thinking this? The fourth thing then would be building a godly thought. Remember, in one hand you had the weapon, and the other hand you had a tool. Now we're talking about the hand with the tool. They go hand in hand. Get it? Haha, hand in hand. I don't know. But building up a godly thought would be changing the thought. Again, it was like Phil said yesterday, you know, you realize where the lie is coming from about the fear, and then you realize where the truth is about the fear. So that's what this step is. It's building the truth. It's building a godly thought. It's changing your thought. Romans 8, 5, and 6. And I believe, if my memory is not forsaking me, that we looked at these verses in our study this week. Romans 8, 5, and 6 says this: for those who live according to the flesh set their minds, okay, that's key, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. There's that word again. Mind, peace, peace, mind. God's always relating those two. And we're going to see it again in the last verse we'll look at today. Peace again. So what does that word set their minds? That those who live according to the flesh set their minds. That means, again, direct one's mind to a thing. To exercise the mind intensively. It means you got to literally do your part. You got to direct your mind. You've got to exercise your mind. You can't just let your mind like control you. You got to say, oh, there's a thought coming in. Control center is seeing it, you know, air traffic control. And then saying, this isn't true. And then there's another part. You can't just stop there with saying, that's not true. Then you have to set your mind. You have to exercise your mind intensively. Direct your mind. You have a part to do. And what does this verse say? It says that it's the results will either be death or life and peace. What will we choose daily in our thought life? Death or life and peace. And it's going to affect every area of our life so much so more than we think. And again, it's going to look like those healthy trees in your brain or those scorched little trees. And Philippians 4, 8, we know the famous whatevers, right? Whatever is true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, of virtue, praiseworthy, whatever is, we have to set our minds on those things. One of my favorite ones of those is good report. So much of what I think of, it's not of a good report. So forget that. Yeah, nix it. Thank you, Sandy. And an example of this is, are any of you guys on Facebook? Raise your hand if you're on Facebook. This will be interesting to see. How about Instagram? Okay. So, you know, it's like when you, if you see a picture on Facebook of like your friends getting together, has this ever happened to anyone you knew? Before there was no, like you had a landline and you called your friends and you talked to them. Now we get to see all the fun that people are having and be like, oh, I'm cleaning my house today. No. But you know, you see this get together of your friends, and if we're honest, it can happen to anyone. You can start to feel left out, but it doesn't stop there. Then you start to feel, before you know it, like no one likes you. You're not important. You feel feelings of rejection. You're not good enough. All of these things just from a little picture. It's ridiculous. And you got to pull it into the conscious part of your brain again and go, okay, wait, is this true? No, I'm not rejected. It has nothing to do with my importance. The fact that some people went out and had a girls' night. There's a lot of other people that aren't included in this picture, right? I'm not the only one at Calvary Chapel that's not in this picture. There's three people and there's like hundreds that aren't in the picture. So it's not like I'm not important or I'm not loved. And so then setting your mind on something good, that's taking the thought captive and pulling it apart and going, no, that's not true. That's not true. But then building a godly thought or setting your mind on something good, how about surely there's others that would love to get together for coffee or a girl's night out. So why don't I initiate? Obviously, this person initiated. They didn't invite every single one of their friends. It has nothing to do with that they didn't like the rest of the people. Who knows what it's all about? But that looks fun. How about I call someone for coffee? Or how about I, you know, say, hey, gals, you want to have night out or something, or a card game or whatever it is, right? These are the ways. And if we're not careful, it can happen to all of us. We don't like to admit it because we like to act like that's junior high days, you know, getting feelings hurt because you're left out, but it can happen to any of us. So the last point of how to have peace in our minds that I am giving us today, or the Lord's giving us, is to focus our minds on God. So that we started out with crying out to God, like, just deliver me right now. The battle's too strong for me. This is warfare. But the last thing would be focusing my mind on God and his thoughts and his heart. And this might seem like repetitive, but it's not to me. This is the part that's been the most valuable, the most helpful to me, actually. Isaiah 26:3, the famous verse, says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts on you, trusts in you. So if we had a handout, I would have put blanks in two spots so you could fill in your names. Excuse me. You will keep Rebecca in what? Perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because Rebecca trusts in you. That's the key. If we're not intentional, if we're not putting up the walls, we're not going to have peace. We're going to be focusing before we know it on the negative, on the, oh, I feel sad. Oh, nothing's going to change. You know, these things. Instead, you will keep Rebecca in perfect peace. You will. But what? How? I have my part whose mind is stayed on you because she trusts in you. And I don't know you guys very well at all. So this last thing in closing is a leap for me. I would normally share this years after knowing you guys, but I'm just going to be honest and vulnerable because we need to be honest and vulnerable with each other. I'm going to give you an example from my own life on how this works. Is that okay with you guys? And then maybe you guys in your group, or if that's not something you're comfortable with, you don't have to, but I think we need to get more honest with each other as Christians in general. I don't mean this church, I mean Christians all over the world. So, an ungodly thought. We start out with an ungodly thought in my little brain, in my control center. And it can be one of the deep, like I talked about, those deep core ones, where when it really boils down, it's like, what is the issue here? Is it that I don't feel, you know, whatever. Well, one of mine that I worked through is, I'm not enough to be in ministry. Okay? I'm being honest with you guys. Okay, good, Sandy. I'm glad I'm not alone. I'm not enough to be in ministry. What do I mean by that? I don't have enough time to give to it. I'm not organized enough. That's where Pam comes in, praise the Lord. I don't have the creativity. I don't reach out enough to ladies. You know, the list could go on and on. And it might seem silly. You guys are just kind of smiling like, aha. But it can affect me more than you would know, because this is what our calling is, right? Phil and I were called to full-time ministry. And so I can get discouraged. It can paralyze me from doing, you know, having joy at home, my home, if the enemy comes at me with this. Now, again, it's by seasons. Right now, you know, I can be in a really good season and then I kind of get off guard and there it is again. So there's the ungodly thought, the fleshly thought. So what do? I have to cry out to God. I have to say, this is a spiritual battle. That was step one. Remember, God, you've got to deliver me from this. Again, you got to recognize the attack and go to war. Pulling it into the conscious part of my brain. Is this bringing me peace or turmoil? Well, it's not bringing me peace. It's bringing me turmoil. Ministry is not about me. You know, there you go. I'm pulling around about pulling the thought apart and then building the thought, the godly thought. You know, I took the thought captive, and now I'm setting my mind, like Romans said, setting my mind. God called me to ministry, and he doesn't make mistakes. That's what it boils down for me. So a couple years ago, I mean, the enemy was just having a field day with me. I was just like, I don't have the time to give to this and that. I don't reach out enough. I wish I could more, blah, 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 on and on and on. And ultimately, I just came to so much peace when I had just accepted God's truth. It takes time. You have to take time to realize what's the root issue here, the root thought, and then pull it apart and build the true thought there. But the true thought is, the truth is that God called me to ministry. This was not my choosing. I mean, I always wanted to be in ministry. I always wanted to serve the Lord, but he called me. He doesn't make mistakes, period. Or in Spanish, we would say punto, period, point, you know. He called me knowing my strengths and weaknesses. Do you know how much freedom that brings? How much peace it brings? So when that thought comes in, I could spend like a week thinking, getting down. Or I could just right away go, that's not true. Enemy, I already know that one. Or, you know, my own flesh, I already know that one. God called me. He doesn't make mistakes. And remember I said that the most helpful thing for me is focusing my mind on God through these thoughts. And it would be that God has all the resources that our church needs and that all churches in the world need. It's his church. He's the Savior. He's the Savior. He meets all the needs. It's about him. It's not about me. And if I'm struggling with that, it just shows me that I'm making people big and God small. Amen? So getting my mind back on the Lord, that brings peace. So that's how we can have peace in our minds. So I just thank the Lord that Phil did go over a lot of these things yesterday, and then we just had more time to just kind of hone in more. And so we could apply it to fears. We could apply it to thought, our thought life, but our minds really are important. And we do need to be a keeper of our mind. We don't need to have gates open to thoughts coming in. We need to have a walled city because it will affect every other area in our life. And God has more for us. He has peace to offer us every day. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's so powerful and you tell us to set our minds on these things. That means we have to exercise our minds. And for me, this was life-changing. These things were life-changing when I realized that I affect, you know, as women, we focus so much on the spiritual aspects of our life. We get in the word, we go to church, we have fellowship, and then we focus on our bodies too, eating healthy, walking when we can. But too often we are not focused on our mind. It is neglected. And your word has a lot to say about our minds, and that's such a key to peace. And our mind is interconnected to our spiritual life and to everything else. Lord, would you help us? I pray for each and every lady out here, and I pray for myself too, and for anyone else who's going to hear this, Lord. Just pray that you would help us to start noticing these ungodly fleshly thoughts. Because that's the first step. We got to realize it. And then we got to fight the battle. We have to cry out to you. We have to say no to lies and then set our minds, exercise our minds to focus on you, Jesus. And we will have peace when our mind is stayed on you. Thank you for these things. Thank you that you created us so intricately, Lord, our brains and our minds. And it's just fascinating, all the science behind it, because you're the designer, Lord. So we just pray for our groups now, that you would just help us to have sweet fellowship. In the name of Jesus, amen.